Welcome to another edition of Cat Soup, the best of internet humor on the radio. I'm Cat.
And I'm Joe.
And we're not going to do a show today.
Wait a minute. What? Hold. What? Say what?
Just kidding.
Wait a minute. Just kidding?
Uh-huh.
Okay, if you're just kidding.
I'm just kidding.
Why?
Because I'm childish.
I don't want to go down this path.
Okay, why don't you just read the national holidays?
National holidays from holidayinsights.com for the week of September 18th through the 24th. September 18th, National Cheeseburger Day.
Ooh.
Nummy.
I liked those when I was little.
September 22nd, Elephant Appreciation Day.
I always appreciated elephants when I went to the zoo.
Yeah.
With my daddy.
And to top it off, September 24th, National Cherries Jubilee Day.
Yay!
So we have cheeseburger, elephants, and cherries.
Yeah, you catching on to the theme yet?
I'm hungry.
Okay. For the elephant?
Cheese.
Okay. Birthdays this week from holidayinsights.com. September 18th, 1933, Robert Blake has a birthday. And do you remember who Robert Blake is besides being in Beretta?
I do.
Do you?
Yes.
What did he do?
He was in Our Gang.
He was in Our Gang. That's right. He was Mickey.
Yep.
I used to love Our Gang.
I still got copies of those.
Oh, good stuff. September 19th, 1941, Cass Elliot, singer and member of the Mamas and Papas.
A truly large performer.
Yes. Now, did the Mamas and Papas ever have children?
That's a very good question.
I don't know.
Or that could be a scary question.
Yeah, exactly. September 23rd, 1920, Mickey Rooney.
Yay!
Who was another child actor.
Actor.
Yeah, yeah. And what was that big thing that he used to always say? Let's put on a show. Something about...
Okay, you're ahead of me on that one.
Okay, didn't do my research.
Don't remember that.
September 24th, 1936, Jim Henson,
my
puppeteer.
Hero.
Creator of the Muppets. I loved Sesame Street.
What's your favorite Muppet?
Cookie Monster.
Animal.
Well, of course.
Animal, yeah. Yes.
Yeah, is that why you have the nickname?
Exactly.
Ah.
No, actually, that's only part of the reason.
I don't want to know the other part.
No, you don't.
Mm-mm.
This Day in History from HolidayInsights.com. September 20th, 1969. In One Small Step for Man, One Giant Step for Mankind, astronaut Neil Armstrong became the first person to walk on the moon.
You know what?
What?
I was in, I don't know what I was in, but I was like 9 years old then, and it was a big deal because we got to bring televisions to school and watch it on TV because it was a huge thing.
Well,
but they were all black and white TVs.
I was about to say, who would want to drag one of those things in?
They were all black and white TVs, and we got to bring them.
I still remember the black and whites. Trust me on that.
Yeah.
Since you're younger than I am. September 23, 1904, Charles E. Minchies of St. Louis, Missouri, files a pastry cone with two scoops of ice cream, and the ice cream cone is invented.
What's your favorite flavor?
You know, good question. I pretty much like vanilla and chocolate. So.
I like the bubblegum flavor.
Oh, well, yeah.
Yeah, and those cones that had the bubblegum in the bottom, the little gumball in the bottom, and then they put the ice cream on top.
Yeah.
It's good stuff.
Yeah, see,
good
I like
stuff.
The ones with the chocolate on the bottom.
So, So any idea on the theme? Not flying.
Oh, man.
No.
That takes that one away.
I'm kidding.
You're kidding.
We talked about child actors. I'm acting rather childish.
Oatmeal.
Okay. Or?
I'm just kidding.
You're so funny. This week we're going to talk about kids.
Cool.
Yeah. And the curious saying of the week is son of a gun.
Son of a gun?
Gun.
Gun.
Son of a gun, yes.
Oh.
You know what that means, don't you? Yeah.
Yeah.
From phrases.org.uk, it means a rogue or a scamp, as in you are a naughty old son of a gun. Some say that the origin is son of a military man. This explanation, though, of course, is disputed. But correct or not, the phrase is no longer really used to convey that meaning. There's a dispute amongst etymologists about the origin of the phrase. It originated as son of a military man, i.e. a gun. The most commonly repeated version is the stand that the British Navy used to allow women to live on naval ships. Any child born on board who had uncertain paternity would be listed in the ship's log as a son of a gun. While it is a testable fact that, although the Royal Navy had rules against it, they did turn a blind eye to women, wives, or prostitutes, joining sailors on voyages. So this version has plausibility on its side.
You know, originally, women on board ship was considered bad luck.
I'm not saying a word.
Yeah. From straightdope.com.
It's a new website we found.
Straightdope.com?
Yeah, yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, it's like Snopes.
.com. Straight gun, Snopes. Ice cream cones. Never mind. Son of the gun lends itself to many usages, among them surprise, affection, and dislike, to name a few. While the Oxford English Dictionary lists usages of the phrase as far back as 1708, one of the best early examples comes from British Admiral William Henry Smythe's The Sailor Workbook, dated 1865. Notice I said Smythe correctly.
Yes.
Smythe offers his definition, an epithet conveying contempt in a slight degree, and originally applied to boys born afloat. When women were permitted to accompany their wives to sea, one admiral declared he literally was thus cradled under the breast of a gun carriage.
Isn't that wonderful?
You know, when those things go off, it'll wake you right up.
A gun carriage or a baby?
The gun carriage.
Oh. Sometimes
a baby,
too.
Of course,
the baby
does, too, Jessa.
Yeah. Anyway, I found a top five list.
Top five?
Yes.
That means we have 1,700 new
nine.
Ones?
Nine. Yes.
Some of these years I'll get this math.
The right. Top nine rejected children's books.
Ooh.
And these, I like these a lot. Number nine, where in the New York area is Jimmy Hoffa? Number eight, the frog formerly known as Prince.
Number seven, Alice in Wonder Braland.
Number six, the little engine that could, if only that darn gout would go away.
Number five, the dummy's guide to crying.
Four, Charlotte's website.
There you go. Number three, the big book of things to put in your ear.
That was my personal favorite here. Number two, Harry Potter and the Allegations of Plagiarism.
And then number one, rejected children's book.
Girls are from Venus. Boys are from Cootie Land. Ew.
How true, how
yeah,
true.
Yeah, yeah. And I found dumb criminals that had to do with kids.
This should be bad or good.
I know. Dumbcriminals.com had all this story. Right. And it's entitled, Would You Like Sprinkles With That?
Yes.
Yes. January 7th, 2011. Valuable lesson, Joe.
Okay.
You might want to take notes. Not every creepy person is a criminal.
See, I told you.
I know. Most of us have been out and about long enough to see our share of wackos. The guy in the Chuck E. Cheese costume?
Wacko.
Not jail material, though. The old lady in your neighborhood with a license in taxidermy? Creepy, but not illegal.
Wow. Also, sometimes the least dangerous-looking person are the ones police have to look out for. These two dudes from the Washington Post seem to have forgotten that important fact. After shoplifting almost $500 worth of soap and shampoo from a local CVS, yes, out of all the wonderful, exquisite things in the drugstore, they stole soap.
Stole?
Soap. Did they slide away on this one? They made their getaway in a stolen Good Humor ice carrying truck. The plan seemed to be working out well until a mob of angry children suffering from sugar withdrawal chased them down, demanding frozen treats.
Just kidding. A few days later, the police received a call about the crime and began to chase the suspects down. Lucky for the cops, there was only one suspicious-looking ice cream truck going 80 miles per hour. Eventually, it crashed into another car, and the two men were arrested on charges of theft, reckless driving, and eluded police. So, the moral of the story is, no matter how great it seems, a truck full of ice cream is not the answer to everything.
Oh, a sad fact, but true.
I know.
Bummer.
I know.
Let's have the ice cream.
Okay. After the show.
Cool.
I found another website. Can you believe there's actually a website about jokesaboutchildren.com? Because I'm Googling and I'm going, okay, jokes about children, and it came up jokesaboutchildren.com.
Why not?
So we're going to tell a little story. This is story time.
Mommy.
We need story. Yeah?
Could you read me a story?
I will read you a story. Oh, are we from, where are we from? Are we from Ireland?
You do, Mommy.
Scotland? I don't know where we're from.
You do.
Are you Indian?
I didn't know, Mummy.
Okay. I'll read you a story, Jojo. One summer evening during a violent thunderstorm, a mother was tucking her small boy into bed. She was about to turn off the light when he asked, with a tremor in his voice,
Mommy, will you sleep with me tonight?
The mother smiled and gave him a reassuring hug. I can't, dear, she said. I have to sleep with Daddy. A long silence was broken at last by his shaking little voice.
The big sissy. Yippers. And now...
Kids are smarter than you can imagine.
And now...
Yes?
And now for something completely different.
Yes.
And now an editorial comment from broadcaster.org.uk. Please note that the views expressed here are those of the website, not the reader, nor the radio station.
Women should not have children after 35.
Uh-oh.
This is one of those controversial statements, but I fully stand behind it. Women should not have children after 35. Some say, of course women can have children after 35. They don't know what they're talking about, and I can guarantee they have had very little experience in this matter. I don't care what the doctor says. I don't care what your friends say. I don't even care what your pastor says. Women should not have children after 35. I don't advise it. I vehemently recommend against it. And loudly and even at times rudely tell people, don't even consider it. And you can quote me on this. If you want to say that I said it, and I said it more than once, women should not have children after 35. Okay, so some of you are going to send rude emails proclaiming the freedom of the womb, but I still stand behind what I said. You may disagree with me. That's your right. But I'm going to stand firm on the issue. With most things, I keep an open mind, but not on this issue. If I find an exception to this rule, then I'll be open to change. But for now, it's firmly closed because I have never seen an exception. Women should not have children after 35. Because
35 children
are enough.
I'm sorry, I'm sitting there trying not to laugh when I saw that answer. Oh my goodness.
And I found a top 5 list that just segues right in from that.
And we have 9 this time.
We have 8.
Gosh.
The top 5 list from top5.com. The top 8 signs you have too many children.
Too many children.
Yes.
Okay.
Number 8. The sign at your local Denny's reads, Tuesdays, kids eat free. Watkins family excluded.
Number 7. Your latest was clutching a note reading, give it a rest already. Sign your uterus.
Number 6. The 3 grain silos on your farm are now filled with baby formula, library paste, and Clearasil.
Definitely more than 35 kids.
Mm-hmm.
Number 5, due to budget cuts, you're forced to start rejecting applications for admissions to your home school.
Number 4, your birth canal has a hydraulic lock system and a duty-free shop.
Number 3, the Department of Homeland Security has an entire wing devoted to listening in on your baby monitors.
Number 2, during your latest C-section, they close the incision with Velcro.
And the number 1 sign you have too many children?
The fact that your children finish their vegetables is the reason there are children starving in Africa. That is so wrong.
In more ways than one.
That's so wrong.
But I like it.
Yes. We have more jokes about children.
Excellent.
From jokesaboutchildren.com.
Let's grin them.
You going to help me with this one?
I think I may be able to answer one or two.
Okay. Now, these were written by children.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
So.
Prepare thyself in the audience, for this is not going to be good.
Oh, come on.
That's going to be funny.
James, age 12, wrote this one. What did the wise man once say?
Man who laugh last, not get joke.
And from SC, too embarrassed to say his real name, age 9. Why do giraffes have long necks?
So they don't smell their stinky feet.
I think that's perfectly logical.
I love it.
And George H. 5 says, what's a frog's favorite drink?
Coca-Cola.
Kaylee H. 12, why did the cat sit on the computer?
To keep an eye on the mouse, of course.
Ba-dum-bum. What do you feed an invisible cat?
Evaporated milk.
Mm-hmm. What is black and white and green and black and white?
Two zebras fighting over a pickle.
You're going to totally get me back for this, aren't you?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I have a little story here. Okay. A man walks into a doctor's office and says, "Doctor, doctor, I've got a strawberry growing out of my head."
And a doctor replied, "I'll give you some cream for that."
Samantha, age 10. Yeah. What did the policeman say to his tummy?
"You're under a vest."
From Elijah, age 11.
Under a vest.
Under a vest, yeah.
Under arrest, if he didn't catch that.
Thank you.
Yes.
Why do geese make lousy drivers?
I've been in New York. All they do is honk.
Good, yeah. Why did the chicken cross the road?
To prove he wasn't a chicken.
I thought that was brilliant. And why did the bubble gum cross the road?
Oh, because it was stuck to the chicken's it was stuck to the chicken's foot.
That's not bad, huh?
Oh.
Yeah, yeah.
Mommy, help me.
We have a new segment here on Cat Soup.
A new segment.
And I kind of already did one, but I'm going to do another one. We have the weekly rant. Because sometimes I just need to rant.
Yeah, I thought we already went through all these rantings and ravings.
No, we got one more, but you get to rant with me this time.
Ta-da!
This is from Cracked.com, and this is about cereal.
Cool.
Yeah. Kids' cereal is how cereal companies inject your children with diabetes by showing a talking animal smiling as it downs what is in reality a festering bowlful of D-grade slop. But with the right title, you can sell practically anything. Children's cereal is the corporate attempt at manufacturing cardiovascular disease. It's also about as good for you as eating a bowl of sugar-covered nails for breakfast, if not less so. But it tastes like a bowl full of heaven, so the ride down is an absolute blast.
Children's breakfast cereals consist mostly of sand, gravel, and refined sugar, as well as some isolated sprinkles of tears and occasional scraps of human flesh. Boxes are sold in generous helpings, making this among the most cost-effective ways to commit suicide with a smile.
Wow, you're not ranting very well.
You know,
it's early. Mm.
Look at how it's advertised. Kids love animals. That's about the extent of the average Kellogg's board member knowledge regarding their target demographic. Tragically, it's all they need to know. Put a buck-tooth cola bear on a box or package cholesterol, and you'll have little tykes ready to throw themselves off a building to get their hands on it, while the men responsible are miles away, laughing manically and twirling their mustache in glee. Now, to prove our point, here are the best and worst according to Cracked.com.
Yes, the first one is Lucky Charms. Lucky Charms is one of the most popular cereals out there. There's really not much to it. It's just some soggy, fun-shaped marshmallows mixed in with boring brown bits that everyone tries to get out of the way first. Not too bad. There's even a leprechaun on the box. So, Fruit Loops win.
Open me, Carter. We send a lot of stuff. Number two, Fruit Loops. Fruit Loops. I mean, this is a crowd pleaser, all right? It's simple, colorful. It even has a toucan, a premise everybody can get behind. Kellogg's was even kind enough to add the unnecessary regular brown cereal pieces to the fruity mix.
I always thought those were the ones that were burned or went bad.
That's the ones I always dug out for.
Yep. Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
This stuff, I'm sorry, is manufactured by the devil. You buy some crunch for recreational purpose, you open it, and you wake up the next morning with a splitting headache and an empty box. That little chef dude on the front now seems to be laughing diabolically at you. He knows he's drawn another innocent bystander into his trap, and that pleases his cold, stone-like heart. And you're absolutely hooked. Next thing you know, you're selling your acoustic guitar for crunch money and spending the night looking for a sugary fix. The life of a cinnamon junkie isn't glorious.
Tragic.
Mm.
Number four. All right, here we go, folks. Trix. There's nothing wrong with Trix cereal, but the kids in those commercials just tick me off. The writers try to present them as good guys, but I know the truth. It wouldn't hurt them to just give the rabbit a single bowl of Trix, but they don't. They just torment him. On the flip side, it wouldn't hurt him just to go buy some, either.
Yeah. And... Fruity Pebbles. Are you kidding me, Post? Fred Flintstone? I mean, anything. A tarantula, a used shoe even, would make a more appealing mascot than Fred Flintstone. You just let your brain vomit all over your notepad rather than spending 8 seconds picking an animal out of a hat and slapping a smile on it, and you paid for it, literally. You paid to use Fred Flintstone because someone else came up with him first, and then you make your commercials about a guy getting his cereal stolen and then trying to get it back. Never in all my years have I witnessed a more incredible apathetic approach to marketing. There isn't a scrap of originality in this whole franchise. Your turn.
I was just thinking, Fruity Pebbles, and you got Fred Flintstone, and yet afterwards they're trying to sell you vitamins in Fred Flintstone.
Yeah.
So you can't get your cereal, but take our vitamin.
I think Fred needs to find another hobby besides making food.
I would agree.
Okay.
Number six, Cocoa Pebbles. Cocoa Pebbles. I refuse to buy a box of Cocoa Pebbles until that screeching bird is institutionalized and off my television set.
Cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Talk about addiction.
Yeah. I have another top five list.
Top five, I?
Yes. 15. From top5.com, 11. The top 11 clever responses when your kids ask where babies come from.
Uh-oh.
Because you know they always will do that. Eventually, they all do it. Number 11. You know mommy's black dress? When mommy puts it on and daddy manages not to say anything stupid, babies can happen.
Number 10. Well, honey, every once in a while, the Viagra fairy comes to visit and...
9. Human babies? I wouldn't know.
Number 8. Babies come about as eddies in the paramortal soup, carbon-based hiccups on the long road to thermal death, cruel hoaxes flung at us by the mirthless cosmos, twisted dreams of, look, clowns.
Oh, when your kids ask where babies come from, number 7, if I knew that, sweetie, I'd send them back.
Number 6. And then the submarine enters the port and offloads its cargo.
I think Dave just fainted over there. Number 5, Johnny Mathis albums and a glass of Merlot.
Oh, there you go.
Mm-hmm.
Number 4, babies come from clean bedrooms. Now, if you really want a baby brother, you'll stop asking questions and start cleaning up your room right now.
I should have used that one.
Yeah, I like that.
Babies, where do they come from? France. They come from France, okay? France.
Socle bleu. Number 2, it all depends on who you know. For example, if you have connections at the airport, you can get them at duty-free from Cuba.
I'm sorry. World, I'm sorry. I apologize. I didn't write it. We just read it.
I love it.
And the number 1 clever response when your kids ask where babies come from?
Poor math skills, my son. Poor math skills. How true.
How true. Oh, my. We have some ruminations.
Ruminations. Mm-hmm. Is that like from Puerto Rico?
Sure. It's a rumination, a bedroom, bathroom.
Oh, I was thinking of rum.
Oh, rum. That would be ruminations.
I know.
And actually, from ruminate.com, if you want to subscribe to it, they do have a thing called Club Rum.
Club Rum.
Just See? Like Club Top 5.
Told you.
See, it's not Club Vodka. It's Club Rum.
Get a joke and your fix at the same time.
Anyway, Warm our ruminations up. For this week. This one is from Bob Van Voris. I believe the children are our furniture.
The Convert comic says...
Covert.
The covert comic who's in a convent. Never mind. The covert comic. They say you should never raise your hand to your children. But how else am I supposed to request permission to speak?
That's way too true to be funny.
Yep.
And Anthony Myers tells us, I believe you can learn a lot from spending time around small children, assuming you don't already know what a cow says or what the wheels on the bus do.
Larry Baum, I am a dyslexic geneticist. Genetistic. My research suggests...
Geneticist.
I am a dyslexic. See, I told you I was dyslexic. You didn't believe me. My research suggests that I inherit it from my child.
Nice.
That's bad.
Yeah. You know who I really like?
No.
I really like Tina Fey.
Okay.
Tina Fey used to be on Saturday Night Live.
She did the improv of...
Sarah Palin,
yes.
It was amazing.
Scary.
Yes. Anyway, she came out with a book.
A book she has.
And it's called Bossy Pants.
Run for the Hills. Duck and cover.
It's cute. But I thought, instead of an Irish blessing,
okay,
that we would read her her prayer for her daughter.
I think I'll step aside on this one and allow you the courage
oh, thank
to
you.
Wade through this.
Thank you.
Doesn't mean I won't make comments in the middle of it.
Okay. Can you turn his mic off, Dave? No, don't. It's okay. Okay, from Tina Fey's new book, Bossy Pants. This is her little prayer for his daughter.
And I can talk, and you don't have to hear me.
First Lord.
Oh, it's still on.
No tattoos. May neither Chinese symbol for truth nor Winnie the Pooh holding the FSU logo stain her tender haunches. May she be beautiful but not damaged, for it's the damage that draws the creepy soccer coach's eye, not the beauty. And when crystal meth is offered, may she remember the parents who cut her grapes in half and stick with soda. Guide her, protect her. When crossing the street, stepping onto boats, swimming in the ocean, swimming in pools, walking near pools, standing on the subway platform, crossing 86th Street, stepping off of boats, using mall restrooms, getting on and off escalators, driving on country roads while arguing, leaning on large windows, walking in parking lots, riding Ferris wheels, roller coasters, log flumes, or anything called Hell Drop, Tower of Torture, or the Death Spiral Rockin' Zero G Roll, featuring Aerosmith, and standing on any kind of balcony, ever, anywhere, at any age. Lead her away from acting, but not all the way to finance. Something where she can make her own hours, but still feel intellectually fulfilled, and get out sometimes and have to wear high heels. What would that be, Lord? Architecture? Midwifery? Golf course design? I'm asking you, because if I knew, I'd be doing it myself. May she play the drums to the fiery rhythm of her own heart, with the sinewy strength of her own arms, so she need not lie with drummers. Grant her a rough patch from 12 to 17. Let her draw horses and be interested in Barbies for much too long. For childhood is short, a tiger flower blooming magenta for one day, and adulthood is long, and working at a dead-end job can wait. Oh, Lord, break the internet forever, that she may be spared the misspelling invective of her peers and the online marketing campaign for Spring Hostel 5, Girls Just Want to Get Stabbed. And when one day she turns on me and calls me a bleep in front of my friends, give me the strength, Lord, to yank her directly into a cab in front of her friends, for I will not have that stuff. I will not have it. And should she choose to be a mother one day, be my eyes, Lord, so that I may see her lying on a blanket on the floor at 5:40 a.m., all at once exhausted, bored, and in love with a little creature whose poop is leaking up its back. My mother did this for me once, she will realize as she cleans the poo off her baby's neck. My mother did this for me, and the delayed gratitude will wash over her as it does each generation, and she will make a mental note to call me, and she will forget, but I'll know, because I peeped it with your God eyes. Amen.
I have a question.
Yeah, sir?
Midwifery?
Midwifery.
Isn't that midwifery?
No, it's pronounced midwifery. I think.
Golf course design?
Tina's just looking out for her girl. That's all.
You just gotta love that one.
Yeah.
And my mother did this for me once, too.
I have a couple lies. A couple lie of the day from HotLife.com.
Okay.
Naming four or more of your children Melvin gains you tax-exempt status in Iowa and parts of New Hampshire.
Melvin.
Yes, and early in their career and desperate for money, the Rolling Stones released a recording of children's nursery rhymes.
Ta-da.
Yeah, I think we better stop.
I think this one's dying.
Yeah, because that's all we have for this week. I'm Kat.
I'm Joe.
And together we're
Kat Soup,
the best of internet humor on the radio.
Have a great week.
From a garbage can.